Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. For fabulous ideas and great savings, the winter sale is not to be missed. Now on, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. First, an apology. In my promo an hour ago with Louise, I mixed up two names. There's an article written in the London Times last week by Rosemary Behan of the famous Irish Dublin Brendan, Dominic, the mother of all the Beans, and Brian. Rosemary is the daughter of the late Brian, and I misidentified her as Keena Dawes. And the reason is that what prompted Rosemary, she's a journalist, to write this article about her father and the monster that her father was, according to her, was a recent case in the UK. You might have come across it, where a 23-year-old woman died by suicide, unfortunately. And in her note, she said one of the reasons why she had taken that action was because of domestic abuse. And this prompted Rosemary Behan, who's a well-known journalist in the UK, to write this piece about Brian Behan. And Brian Behan is in the cell and been out of the news. He died in 2002. If you go onto the RTE archive, you'll see a fine interview with him. Well, a fascinating interview in light of what Rosemary's saying by Anya, the great, late great Anya O'Connor of this parish. But just one paragraph from Rosemary's thing before I finish the apology or article. It was difficult to win an argument with Brian Behan. Such was his grasp of history, world events, human natures. But what his glowing obituaries would later fail to mention, and what the public didn't realise, and which I should have probably spoken about sooner to more people, that as well as being a monumentally impressive character, he was also a psychotic monster who ruined my mother's life and almost mine. Now, if you can access the article, it's in the London Times. It is jaw-dropping in terms of its revelations about Brian Behan. And Brian Behan's name, by the way, appears on posters all over Ireland at the minute because he wrote The Mother of All the Behans, which Imelda May is starring in and directed by Peter Sheridan. It's been on the go under various different actresses, including the great Rosaline Lennon, for many years, and it's got great reviews. But that's just to clarify, I was talking about Rosemary Behan writing about her father for the first time, she said, prompted to reveal it by that tragedy about his domestic abuse of his mother, which no one ever knew about. Tony Murray and Graham Campbell have both contacted us. Joe at rte.ie 51551. Tony, what happened?
Driving to work or to an appointment this morning, Joe, driving up the Oscar Traynor Road, I'd be shocked to see the amount of primarily young kids going to school cycling on the bike. No high vis whatsoever. All dark clothing. And then on top of that, they had hoodies up. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, obviously you couldn't. They had no peripheral vision at all. So luckily, I know some people probably argue it would be, luckily some of the kids were cycling on the footpath. It was a dark morning. It was lashing rain.
Is there a cycle path up there?
There isn't, no. Oscar Traynor Road, no.
Which is unusual.
The fact that not one of them had any sort of high-vis, you know, Joe, you see so many people now on their phones when they're driving, and moments lapse in concentration, the kid comes out in front of them, no high-vis jacket. They're hard to spot, and the scooters now as well. It seems like it's a form of dress for these people to wear all black.
And what age, insofar as you can judge, because you could hardly see them, what age were they?
I reckon the school going, I'd say between...
Well, primary, second level. Second level, exactly, so maybe 13, 14 upwards, or younger.
Yeah, and I have to say, it included adults as well. There was some adults...
And nobody, even though the RSA give out high-vis jackets to beat the band free, they give them to... I don't think there's a household or under the stairs in any home in Ireland that doesn't have two or three high-vis jackets. You say you're saying to me not one of them was wearing a high-vis jacket.
Not one, Joe.
What about lights?
No. There was a guy there, I copped one guy on these little small electric bikes, and there was a light in the front, but it wasn't on. Now, I thought they were electric, and automatically the light would come on. That wasn't even on.
Any of them cyclists wearing helmets, by the way, which is not required, you know that.
No, some was it some of the adults I passed. I passed one particular guy. He was fantastic. He had a helmet on. He had a light, a rear light on the top of the helmet. He had a light on his back and a light on the bottom of the bushel.
Yeah, I saw somebody this morning at 7:10 on, but it's a cycle path in Clontarf down, going down towards Fairview as I was, and he had three lights on. It was like a knee. He had one, two, his helmet, his haversack, and the back of his saddle, obviously. He had three lights.
That's exactly. He had a high-vis jacket on as well.
Okay, well, apart from raising it here, which you're right. By the way, the RSA tell us it's the law, wait for this, to have a bell on your bike.
Right.
Well, we've asked them, when is the last time there's been a prosecution for having no bell on your bike?
Yeah, and that's
a laugh. Graham, the Nobel Prize. Graham Campbell, Graham, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe, how are you doing?
You noticed it as well, when?
Just generally. I mean, I live in the Dublin 4 area of Shelburne Road, and I'd be out most nights, and you just see, if you see 10 cyclists, 4 or 5 of them have zero lights, nothing on the front, nothing on the back. I mean, these are statistics that everybody, like the gentleman before me, just been talking about. But what I want to try and get across is to appeal to the people before they get onto a bike that they can't be seen. There must be a conception that a cyclist thinks that if a car's got two great big whopping headlights, that headlights will show up the cyclist. That's not the case, because another car coming towards the other car, and both on dead lights, and there's a bike between them with no lights in the front or back, they're not going to be seen.
And then the other thing they should remember, of course, it's the law to have working lights. I know that, but it's also the law to have a bell on your bike. Everyone knows you have to have working lights on your bike. But by the way, it's not the law to have an actual helmet, believe it or not. But it is a fact that cyclists, I did remember that when a cyclist comes into contact with a car or a truck, it is never the motorist or the truck driver that comes off worse.
That's correct. Yeah, and it's probably their fault in the end as well too. You know, it might be the law might side on the Oh, I don't know, Joe. It's maddening. You know, it's just you see young children like the gent before. You see, I've seen people on the bikes. We had parents on the bike with a child in the back. And like, it sounds like I'm making this up, but I mean, the guy's wearing these black puffer jackets. Which are all the go at the moment. And there's nothing on the front of the bike. And there's nothing. And there's a child. You know, you get to a stage where that's why I put the email together to you, Joe. You just got to appeal to people's common sense. Mind you, that's a bit of an oxymoron in itself. But people's common sense to say, before I go outside in the dark on my bike, I need to be seen. Yeah. It's not reinventing the wheel, Joe.
I presume we have a statement from the RSA. It's all about good practice. We know about good practice, but there's no law about wearing a high-vis jacket. There is a law, obviously, going way back to De Valera's time or Michael Collins when he used to cycle around in disguise in Dublin, that you had to have a light on your bike and you had to have a bell on your bike.
Yeah.
The bell law is still there. The light law is still there, but there's nothing else. There's nothing about wearing a helmet. You know, cyclists should also make sure, this is from the RSA, they give the other road users the best chance of seeing them. High visibility clothing. And they should also signal plenty of time. Yeah, that's fine. But your point is, these are pitch black mornings. This morning was especially bad with the cold and the rain and the cloud cover. So it was very dark. Very, very dark.
Yeah, it was indeed.
By the way, Tony or Graham, Graham first. Graham, have you ever been? I know you can't, I would never even, if I recognise someone on a bike, if it was Elvis himself on a bike, I wouldn't beep because it gives cyclists a fright. I never beep a cyclist under any circumstances. But have you ever, when you're out walking or pedestrian, have you ever checked a cyclist and said, listen, are you mad not wearing a high vis?
Yeah, Graham. About three or four times. Yeah.
How did that go?
It didn't go down well at all. I was basically told to mind my own business. And I was actually nearly knocked down in the road myself by a guy with it. And I just said to the guy, what about a light, you know? I didn't see you. You nearly knocked me down. And I got the proverbial Napoleon's farewell to his troops, as they say.
The fingers. Tony, have you ever checked anyone or ever been tempted to? I know you've been tempted, but have you ever been in a situation where you could say to somebody, listen, are you mad?
Yeah, it happened to me one morning, Joe. Cycling, I've cycled all my life. But one particular morning, I was driving down the house road. And I met this guy three consecutive mornings. Okay. First morning, he frightened me because I didn't see him at all. Just at the pub there in Killester Village. And the first morning there I go, second morning I seen him again, I said, what an idiot, you know. And the third morning I blasted a horn at him. This was at about 6:30. Yeah. I shouldn't have done it. I realised that, it was just frustration. Okay. And I get out of the car and I said to him, you idiot, do you realise no one can see you, you're dressed in 30 in black. This is about 10 or 12 years ago, Joe. I just lifted him out of it, and again, just mind your own business. I said, fair enough, just move on.
But I've seen have you ever, Tony, accidentally cut across a cyclist?
No. They've done it plenty of times on me.
That's what I mean. Stay there with me. Have they ever challenged you, even though the cyclist might be in the wrong? I know what people are going to, the cyclists are going to go mad. There, Owen Nocton, come in, Owen.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good. You don't wear a high vis or a helmet, but you're a cyclist. Why?
I just don't think there's a need to wear one when you're commuting to work or to school. Like, say, if you were on a bike doing speed, like one of those road guys, fine, wear a helmet. But wearing a helmet, I suppose, if you come across a distracted driver or someone driving at speed, if they crash into me and I don't have, if I'm wearing a helmet, what's that going to do? It's going to save my life or probably not. We've seen cases where people have been hit whilst wearing helmets and have died. So, I think the owner should be on the driver.
Hang on, they weren't killed by the helmet.
They weren't killed by the helmet?
Yeah.
No, but they were killed by the driver, so the onus is on drivers to slow down.
You say helmets are completely ineffective.
Well, they're not as effective as they are.
No, the question I asked, are helmets completely ineffective, which is what you're implying on? Just, that's fine if you think they are.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Okay, and why no high vis?
Not a legal requirement. I have lights on the front and back of my bike.
Oh, that's okay.
Who was goofing there?
Should all cars be painted in high-vis material so they can be seen?
Well, the cars are pretty bigger than bikes. Are your back? Aren't they?
Joe? Yeah, but...
Yeah, who wants to come in? Don't leave it to me.
Joe,
Graham. Tony.
I'm flabbergasted at that attitude. A high-vis jacket. The colour alone, the fluorescent... So again?
Why wear one?
Why wear one?
Come out and said that high vis
be safe.
Isn't effective.
Forward zone, be safe, be seen.
Yeah, and the
that's what they're pushing, but people are distracted by their phones.
Yeah, I know all that. You're saying I will not wear a high vis jacket out of spite. Because cars aren't painted fluorescent yellow. That's what you said.
Well, not really.
Why should I wear a high vis when cars don't wear high vis? It's your life, man.
Joe, can I come in and just
No, hang on. Owen. Who's going to... Yeah. God forbid, Owen. God forbid. Yes, but who's going to come out worse? Between forget about the rights and wrongs now, and cyclists.
But this is victim blaming. This is like saying, don't go outside wearing T-shirt and shorts because you'll catch cold, you know?
Well, I think the analogy now is pretty watery.
Can I ask a question, Joe, please?
Yes, Tony.
I don't know whether they have realised or not. It's not just a high vis, it's reflective. There's the reflective gear on that. When a light is shone upon it, highlights the whole thing straight away. Yeah. The high vis jacket and the reflective stripes.
It's only the reflective material, though, Graham. It's only a small strip.
But it doesn't matter. It draws attention to the fact that once your headlights are on,
but
or your dip lights.
Can you agree that if you have a front and rear light, you don't need high-vis, like cars?
Why compromise when you can wear a high-vis?
Why would you dress up as a builder to go for a cycle?
Hang on, Joe, can I come in?
What's wrong with dressing up? What do you say? Why would you dress up as a builder?
Why would you dress like a builder? Go.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Work?
What's wrong with dressing
I'm
like
not
a builder?
That then, but what if you're not a builder?
Joe, it's gone a bit wonky here, if you don't mind me saying so. You know, how can you defend the indefensible? For crying out loud, get a grip, you know?
The onus on the drivers to make sure they're responsible for their speed and their surroundings, but people are too distracted.
Yeah, so
by phones.
So we should recognise that reality. I know we don't. What you're talking about is if utopia, but you're saying drivers are to blame. That's fair enough or whatever. But you'll be the victim. That's what I'm saying. The stats show that. Unfortunately, it's the poor cyclist that takes the hammering.
If I'm the victim, the person driving is at fault because they're
driving
a weapon.
Hang on, Owen. Would you have that carved on your headstone? It wasn't my fault.
Well, that's the way that is the way it's.
Do you want that on your headstone? I didn't wear a high-vis jacket. I was knocked down by a cycle, by a motorist or a truck or whatever, but it wasn't my fault. Gently by and say a prayer for me. Dara Morta, Joe at RT.ie 51551. Dara.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon to you.
High-vis or not high-vis?
Oh, hi, Viz. I'm down the country here in Kings Court in Cavan, and occasionally we take a trip to Dublin in the evening, and it's startling the contrast between Dublin and in general down the country. We go up and we see no hi Viz, sometimes no reflectors, no lights, no hand signalling, no helmets in a lot of cases, and bikes just slipping in and out between cars from the side of the road. You know, and there is lighting all right, but generally it's not.
But wouldn't
great,
it be... Well, okay, Dara, do you think, and I'll put this to Tony and Graham Anna, do you think high-vis for cyclists should and it'd be the easiest law to enforce, whatever about trying to find a bell on a bike, which is the current law, I don't know how you'd have to stop every bike, do you think it should be obligatory for cyclists to wear a high-vis jacket?
Well, I think the first protocol should be educating people.
We know all that. But sorry, and I don't mean to cut across you. This segment of the program is about educating as well. But it's fairly easy for a guard to spot if somebody, a cyclist, is not wearing a high-vis jacket. It's fairly easy to police. So maybe it should be mandatory.
It is, but I have to say that this discussion is the first discussion that I have heard of this topic at all. And I mean, for anyone travelling the roads in Dublin on any evening, I mean, it must be apparent that it's an issue. I think if the Road Safety Authority or organisations made it a topic that they were going to cover on a regular basis and see how that went. But I think rules and regulations, I think there's a place for those as well. But I think first things first.
One of the advantages, and Owen, check me here now, one of the advantages in Dublin is the growth of dedicated cycle lanes. That helps cyclists, doesn't it, Owen?
It does, yeah, absolutely.
In terms of safety.
Okay,
Peter is in Galway City.
Hello, Joe.
Your list, should high-vis be mandatory?
Yeah, I missed the beginning of your conversation, but I wanted to jump in. I think high-vis should be mandatory for drivers of cars. There's too many dark cars knocking around. I can't see them. And I think really...
I know it's February the 4th next week. Is this April the 4th we're on? Are you joking me?
Maybe you could relax in the spring and summertime.
Yeah, I don't think this is funny. We're talking about cyclists.
No, I don't think it's funny at all. No, not so.
And you're educated response is No, I don't think cyclists should have to wear them. Drivers sitting in a car behind the steering wheel, behind the glass, behind metal, they should wear them.
Yes, and reflectors on the car as well.
Don't take me.
High vis reflectors.
Don't take me for a fool, will you, Peter? For God's sake.
No, seriously, there's too many cars smoking around on the roads. Seriously.
So hang on.
And the driver, the lights don't work on them as well. I tell you, it's dangerous.
Can I say something, though, really quickly?
Yeah, I don't know if that warrants a response. You obviously have your tongue in your cheek there, Peter.
No, but like,
I think one of the
major you have. Yeah,
I think it'd be much safer.
You're making light of something that's very serious. There's too many cars.
No,
I don't mean to
at all. No, I just think it would be much safer if we could see the drivers. And you know, it might make it
what
easier for the guard to see
it's
them.
It's not
on
the driver, Peter. It's not the driver that's going to kill the cyclist or injure the cyclist. It's the car.
Well, put the reflectors on the cars as well.
Or the trailer.
Put the high-vis reflectors on the cars. We could see the cars coming then. It'd be great.
So you're looking behind instead of looking forward?
No, put the reflectors at the front of the car and the back. Sure, all the lights don't work on them anyway.
Well, Tony, have I lost, apart from the will to live, have I lost my senses here listening to this rubbish?
Yeah, can I come in there, Joe, please? I think you're dead right there. These two lads are winding us up. That lad who said...
Well, Peter, Peter, you are joking when you say it should be mandatory for car drivers to wear high-vis jackets.
Well, I think it's the same way to say it's mandatory for cyclists or anybody else to wear high-vis.
But Peter, whether you like it or not, a driver is protected in his or her vehicle.
We can't see the vehicle.
Cyclist isn't protected.
The cyclist and the horse riders as well. The horse riders are very concerning.
Okay, then, well, that's a different topic as well. We'll get to that, I'm sure.
We should have high-vis horses.
Joe, can I ask something there?
If I could come in there, Joe.
Who's that, Dara?
Yes, Joe. Yeah. I mean that topic there on the car drivers wearing high-vis. I mean, just to give him the benefit of the doubt for a second, and presume it is a serious.
He says it is.
Well, I mean, bikes don't have. It's the headlights on the car that pick up the high-vis. So that's what makes the cyclist visible. Yeah. They're not a light in itself, so it wouldn't apply. I mean, a cyclist coming along, it doesn't have headlights on their bike that are going to pick up the high-vis.
Yeah.
And it's usually the car is coming from behind, and that's the issue.
Okay. Everyone be safe, be seen. Please.
Joe, can I just come in there quickly?
Who's that, Tony? Owen, of course.
I think it was Graham and I'm not sure Tony was the other guy at the start. They made a very good point at the start saying that they weren't able to see all these cyclists on the Oscar Traynor Road or whatever they were on.
Yeah.
But they weren't wearing high-vis, yet they still saw them.
Yeah, but
how would you explain that?
I think they were talking... Tony, will you explain it? I presume you're talking about split-second stuff.
Yes, you're talking about kids coming towards you and then all of a sudden, bang, there's a black shadow in front of you.
Okay.
Whereas...
And how many of them did you hit?
Oh, God.
I'd agree with that too, Joe.
How many of them did you hit?
Oh, that's a ridiculous question.
Yeah, but you didn't even hit them. Like, you were driving at a safe speed that you didn't hit them, but you still saw them without the use of high-vis.
Okay, so I'll answer that question for you. Had they been wearing a high-vis jacket... I would have seen them a good 100 yards before he came near.
Well, Tony is obviously a good citizen and a good, caring driver. He contacted us about it, Owen. But everyone isn't like that, unfortunately, as you know. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Kevin Battle is in Maine in the USA. What are you doing now, Kevin?
Hey, good morning to you. Well, right now it's 8 degrees Celsius and sunny. We got about 5.5 inches of snow last night. So, not doing nothing.
So what's your plan for today?
Just some housework and stuff like that with the wife.
But the highlight of your day will be... You gone, Kevin?
Oh, I guess probably we have the inauguration there at noon time. I'll watch that probably.
And you're happy?
Yeah. So I am, and I'm waiting to see what happens, you know?
Okay, why are you happy? Why are you happy about today?
Well, I think he did a great job the first time, and I think he's going to do a good job this time.
Okay, and among what is the general atmosphere today in the States? And now, it's a stupid question because you can't generalize. But what is the atmosphere among your family and your friends about the Trump presidency, which begins in 3 hours' time?
Mostly right now, reserved curiosity to see exactly what will happen. You know.
What is the number one thing, Kevin, you hope will happen?
Hopefully, he'll straighten out the economy and get prices back down to what they were before.
You're dropping in and out, unfortunately. Odie Fitzgerald is on the better line, I hope, but I'll come back to Kevin. Odie, good afternoon.
Good American morning, Joe. How are you, sir?
Good. And how's your mood today?
Mood is pretty good. It's very cold. I'm here in South Carolina, as you know, and we're about -6 here this morning, and I'm outside because I've good reception. So it's kind of cold. Mood is good. I've been in around town today, and I've talked to a few people already, and they're excited. A lot of excitement happening. A lot of anticipation. Some people are happy that Joe is leaving. Some people are happy that Donald is coming in. On my own radio show last night, I had a few Democrats call up and they were saying, maybe change could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. They don't know. And there's a small little bit of tension in the air. There's a lot of happiness. People are looking forward to change. As your previous caller was saying, hopefully the economy will come back to normal again. And we did. We experienced, now I know a lot of stuff is still cheaper here in America than it is back in Ireland.
Yes.
But we experienced a rise in prices. A little bit more expensive to fill our cars, a little bit more expensive to go to the grocery store. And we're hoping, everybody's hopeful that prices will start to come down again and that the America, and with a side effect from that, the world will change. I mean, the biggest thing that we're seeing so far is that Donald Trump is after saying that he's going to quash the war that's happening in the Ukraine at the minute. Mm. Now, I'm not too sure how he's going to do that.
Day one.
Now, the man has said that he's going to work today. So there's no kind of settling into the job. There's no sort of thing of relaxing. He's going to straight into it, grab the bull by the horns, and he's going for it today. And he said day one, he's going to see what he can do about stopping the war in Ukraine. Again, Joe, I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't know what he's going to do. There is talks, the fact that he's a little bit, he says what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And I think Putin could be a little bit scared of that because, I mean, as of 12 o'clock today, Donald Trump has the football. And the football is the codes for the nuclear weapons.
God forbid. I'm not talking about Donald Trump, but the fact that we should be talking about nuclear war, Odie.
I do not want that to happen. No way. But that is a serious kind of that's a big card in his deck. It's
because he portrays you put it to me. Is it because he portrays himself as being unpredictable and I'll unleash hell on earth? Isn't that a phrase he used before?
He has said that he will do what he has to do.
Destroy the world.
No, he's not going to destroy the world. Nah, no, Joe, come on. Don't take it out of context.
I don't know what you're saying. Putin might be afraid of him because he's unpredictable.
No, it's not that he's unpredictable. It's that whatever he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Now, again, he hasn't said exactly what he's going to do.
Okay. What do you think I don't know why it had to come to this. What do you think of the preemptive pardon by Joe Biden of Anthony Fauci?
Why did he need to do it? You know, what was the reason behind it?
Trump said he'd put him in prison. He said one of his generals would be done for treason and put up against a wall. He's been preemptively pardoned as well.
There's been a few things have happened in the lab. There's been a few pardons that have happened in the last
couple. Yeah, including his son. But why would you? Why would you have to pardon the chief medical officer, who, no matter who has seen him or heard him, Mike, has heard nothing but good. Like, and anyway. Okay, Odie, tell us why the campaign obviously went Trump's way, didn't it, in terms of...
Campaign, yes, it went very, very much so. And I know Biden has come out recently and said that if he had stayed running, that he would have won. And I'm not sure if he would have. He would, he might have, he may not. The campaign went well for Donald. Obviously, he's going to get sworn in, as you say, 3 hours' time. And... there's a lot of people, as I say, a lot of Republicans, Democrats, and people that would vote independent who have been in touch with me and have been talking to me and have said, it's time for change. It is time for change.
And do you think, again, God forbid, one that it shouldn't have happened, that the attempts on his life, the shooting, where he was...
No, it shouldn't have happened. I mean, no, nobody, but think, nobody sorry, should
do,
have
do you think, of course, of course. But do you think that might have been a bizarre way he helped him, Modi?
It possibly could have, Joe. It possibly... I can see where you're coming from. And yes, it possibly could have. He's definitely said that since the incidents have happened, that he's after getting a stronger faith in God and Jesus. And that's something that he's going to talk about today in his inauguration speech, is the fact that he feels more in touch with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he was a religious man, but he feels that he's even more so. Mm. And the fact that he's even more so, as you know, I'm living in the South. It's the Bible Belt. Yeah. And, you know, everybody is very religious down here. That could have helped. The fact that he found Jesus even more so than he did, it could be a big thing.
But he did actually say that God intervened to save his life, the hand of God.
Yes, he did. Something happened, Joe. I mean, that bullet was very, very close to ending him. Like, extremely...
But what about the man that was killed? Can anyone remember
I know. It is... Yeah.
Can anyone remember his name?
No, I can't. I'm sorry to say, but I can't.
Corey Campitori. He was a firefighter. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't God intervene to save the life of a firefighter?
Unfortunately, Joe, you're asking the wrong person when it comes to God and all that. I don't have a dog in that fight.
Okay, stay with us, Odie. I appreciate your contribution. Jeff Dolan is in Chicago. What are you doing now, Jeff? Are you going to sit down and would it be like the Super Bowl? Is it a big television event this afternoon?
Well, the first one is going to be the Notre Dame game tonight against Ohio State, but I got the... TV on Fox News Channel, and we're so excited about Trump being inaugurated.
And tell us about that excitement.
Well, first, you know, he got elected because of the border, got elected because of the economy, and he got elected because of the culture wars.
People understand the border, and they understand prices, but what are the culture wars?
DEI. Diversity. Yeah.
Equality and inclusion.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, it's being forced. It's changing the dynamic of our culture, of what the United States is. You can't have boys playing on a girl's team. I think that is the most driver of a lot of people's vote in this last election about what's happening in this country. And not to mention crime and everything else, but that was a big driver, Joe.
Okay, if you say it was a big driver, it's a big driver. Kelly Kennedy. Kelly, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you today?
I am terrific. How are you?
Good, good. Will you look at the inauguration? Will you sit down with your feet
absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you excited about it?
I am indeed. I am indeed. I'm a big Trump supporter, have always been.
Okay. And tell us why. Not that you should have to, but tell us why. Just to give people a glimpse.
Trump loves America, loves Americans, wants the best for America. Going to get the border back under control. The same problems you're having here that we're having here in Ireland with illegal immigrants needs to be under control. The economy needs to be back in control. People need to be able to afford housing and food. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the man to do it.
And what's the general attitude among you? I know you're here in Ireland at the minute.
Yes.
What reaction do you get, Kelly, when you say I'm a Trump supporter?
Well, you probably know.
Speak freely. Yes. Well, tell me. Tell me. You're very good. Tell me.
No, I do. I have friends who are adamant. You know, he's not a gentleman. He, you know, all of this about him. I could care less if he's a gentleman or not. He gets the job done. And I have a lot of friends that we agree to disagree.
Okay.
One of the things is, you know, that you do need to have discussions about things, and we do need to have our own opinions. And I will listen to anybody's opinion. So I do have quite a few Irish friends who support Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I do have quite a few. I do have quite a few that don't. You know.
And so, Kelly, we hear even today now. You know, there's been we're told anyway. I don't know, the figures will come true eventually. That there's been a significant number of people who've resigned from the state career civil servants, so to speak, who've resigned from the State Department because Trump is going to come after them, the Justice Department or whatever. People talking about leaving the country. I don't know whether you read about different people saying they'd emigrate if...
Good riddance.
But say they come to you, okay? Say they come to live beside you in Cork.
Well, you know, bring them on.
Well, would
you
be Kelly, would you be tempted to go back?
Oh, I go back. I mean, I would go back to the States. I have a, you know, Irish husband, so I'm here, and we do go back when we can. He loves, you know, the States.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would gladly go back. I love Ireland, though. I love the slower pace and everything. I'm from just north of Atlanta, Georgia, which is very, very busy. So it's a whole different world here. I look forward to the next 4 years. I look forward to the next 4 days. Like the man that was speaking a minute ago, talking about Trump, you know, doing stuff immediately. I believe we're going to see some stuff fairly quickly. So I'm excited.
Well, 200 executive orders today. Joe Biden signed 8 of them on his first day. God, it'd be his fountain pen would be fairly squeaky by this evening if he's... And some of them sound pretty... to you, Kelly, do some of them sound pretty savage? Like the ICI, immigration, the organisation, it's a big organisation, state organisation that picks up illegal immigrants. They're going to be ratcheted up within 24 or 48 hours. Chicago...
I think that is quite a big task, and I think it needs to be, they need to get going on it.
What do you do with them?
Well, I don't know. We need to send them back to where they came from. They shouldn't be here in the first place. I was not allowed to come into Ireland willy-nilly. I had to go through legal means. And I am all for, and I know that Donald Trump is all for people legally coming in to the States, but people need to be vetted. I had to be vetted. Why should they not be vetted?
And what does vetting mean?
Vetting means they checked me out, inside out, upside down, you know, had to make sure that I did not have a criminal record. You know, they don't just let, well, they did. Now you throw away your passport and you can come into Ireland. So I believe, I absolutely believe that people that truly need help should be allowed to come and get help. I don't believe people should be allowed to come and just given services, given a better place to stay here than the Irish do, given places to stay in the States, you know.
And after 4 years, and forgive me for putting the question this way, Kelly, but after 4 years, well, I'd put it the other way, I was thinking, how would you deem Donald Trump's second presidency a success? What would be your measurement?
If the states are in better condition, our economy is in the toilet right now.
Well, inflation has never been lower.
That is a bunch of hooey.
Okay, well, I read when I was reading The Economist at the weekend.
Of course you're reading it. The media is, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So, but I don't believe that for, not for a second.
Okay.
So, but we shall see. And I think it's going to be seen pretty quickly. And I can't wait.
Okay, stay with us, Kelly. I'll be back after this break. Joe at RT.ie and talk to Dolores. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Kelly is still there. Kelly Kennedy, pro-Trump in County Cork, and Dolores is in Virginia in the United States. How are you today, Dolores?
Good morning, Joe. Today is a very sad day, to say the least. I am disgusted that in a couple hours' time, a convicted felon, a misogynist, a sexual predator, will be the leader of the free world. So not everybody is happy, and I'm certainly not.
Okay, well, wait.
My father, give us a background. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, your program.
No, I was going to say, my father, give a little bit of background. My father was from Sligo, was in World War II, got the Purple Heart and Brown Star, fought for this country, and never lost his Irish roots. And now we're going to have somebody who's going to be the commander-in-chief who didn't even serve one day in the military because he had bone spurs. I am shocked that this country is headed this way. It is, and living here, the decisiveness, the racism, certainly, one of your previous callers said about inflation. Inflation is very low. It's under 3% and the lowest unemployment rate. So I think so many people, using the expression we use here, drank the Kool-Aid for the believed Donald Trump's lie.
Breaking news, Kelly and Dolores, Reuters, who are very reputable, are reporting within the last 3 minutes. These are some of the executive orders Donald Trump will sign today. Today, he will direct the military to prioritize the U.S. border and territorial integrity, end catch and release, move to end birthright citizenship, end asylum and close the border to immigrants entering illegally, reinstate remain in Mexico policy, 10 executive orders on the border to be issued, on the Mexican border to be issued today, sign an executive order today declaring a national energy emergency, sign a memorandum on inflation which envisions all of government response to inflation, sign an executive order today that US policy will recognize two sexes only, male and female, sign an executive order to ensure official government documents such as passports, visas reflect male or female, establish Department of Government efficiency, that's your man, isn't it, Musk, restore the death penalty in public safety. I have no specific target for the iPrize. Sign an executive order ending federal government DEI, which was mentioned earlier. diversity, equality and inclusion, sign an executive order ending federal government DEI programmes, suspend refugee settlement for at least 4 months, an end to the electric vehicle mandate and designate criminal cartels as global terrorists. What do you think of that, Kelly? You'd be happy with them, I presume?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think of them, Dolores? Are you recovered?
No, I haven't recovered, Joe. I'm still having a very hard time. No, this is a bully. This is a bully who goes out there, wants to divide people. Two genders, no inclusion. I mean, this country is going back. This used to be a country that people used to look up to. We're going back, back, back. And look, like his best friend is Putin. We're headed that way, too. I saw in the paper yesterday that we won't only have 4 years of Trump. It'll probably be, turn over the Constitution. It will happen forever. That's been facetious. But anyway, no, he's a bully and he wants to be out there. And
yeah, but Dolores, I take that, and you are factually correct in calling him a felon and a convicted criminal. But the point now is he is also, or will be in a couple of hours, the president. And being the president trumps, pardon the pun, being a felon, as was proven last week in the New York verdict, being president trumps everything else.
And isn't that great? Isn't that says a lot about the Supreme Court that we have here now, that mostly are Trump appointees. That's the scary thing. That, okay.
Odie's gone. Okay. So Dolores. Well, because I heard one commentator this morning saying, well, you can actually get on with your life in the States without worrying too much about what the White House does.
And I am doing that, Joe. I am, but yes. The economy's strong, unemployment's low, and I'm going to get on with my life because I'm not going to give him the power to do otherwise. And a lot of people are like that. Just today is a very bad day. But I'm just going to just put my head down and I've already canceled my subscription to the Washington Post newspaper. I'm going to try to stay out of politics.
And is that because they refuse? Is that because they refuse to endorse either candidate?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And did you?
It's a very sad day.
Okay.
And I'm very, very disappointed. And will
you watch it when it begins noontime, which is 5 o'clock, depending where you are, 5 or 6. But will you watch it when it begins shortly before J.D. Vance's is inaugurated for us? Okay.
J.D. Vance lives in my neighborhood. He's going to be moving, so that's good. No, I'm not going to watch it.
What do you mean the vice president lived in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah, he lives in Alexandria. That's where I live. I live in Alexandria, 7 miles outside Boston.
Have you ever met him?
No. We just see his motorcade going up and down.
Okay.
But no. I mean, he came out of nowhere.
He came out of hillbilly energy.
He did. Because it's, yes. Yes, that says a lot, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes. And he could potentially be the next president.
That's
true. No, Joe, I'm not going to turn on the TV. I have the TV on now. I'm not going to watch the inauguration. But I wasn't even going to turn on the TV this morning. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to give him the power of me not being able to watch my morning Good Morning America program. I'm not going to let him do that to me. So I have it on mute. So I turn it up when it's nothing to do with politics.
Anthony Fauci has just said that he's grateful for the pardon he received from the outgoing President Joe Biden, saying, I've committed no crime and see no grounds, but it feels good and I'm grateful to the President for doing it.
He's a wonderful man. He saved millions and millions of lives. And the flip side of that, let's see now Trump turn around now and pardon all the January 6th people. That's what in Washington, D.C. here, the chief of police said yesterday that her team was assaulted and some committed suicide after the January 6th. And if they're all pardoned, what's that going to do for the law enforcement in this area?
Well, it looks like
area?
Most of them will be pardoned, it seems, except a very few. Okay, Dolores, kind regards, Dolores in Virginia, and Kelly Kennedy. The Lords is anti-Trump, as you can hear, and Kelly Kennedy is pro-Trump, and Kelly is in Cork. Have a good afternoon, Kelly.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you,
bye
Joe.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. And Garrett, good afternoon. Garrett Brady's in Malahide. Unfortunately, Garrett, you come with two very difficult stories about colleagues and comrades of yours who were cyclists.
Yeah. Joe, thanks for having me on Liveline. Yeah. I've been cycling for years, but when I heard the debate on cycling, I thought I'd like to go on the radio just to make a point. And my point is this, that the institutions of the state are doing a huge amount to encourage people to get out on bikes and cycle. They're not doing anything as much to actually promote the safety of those cyclists. And what you said there is that I know two people who were killed cycling. I was cycling with one of them when it happened. I don't know anybody else who was killed in any other way. And I still see, if I'm driving along the road behind a car, I still see a car passing a cyclist on a continuous white line on a bend and traffic coming towards them. And if they have to push one way, they're going, the soft options to hit the cyclist, they are not taking the safety of the cyclist into account. And, you know, I make the point that a car driver can kill a cyclist. A cyclist can't kill a car driver. So there isn't enough effort in this country to promote the safety of cyclists. I've no doubt about that.
And what could be done? There is more, obviously.
Well, you hear the advertising about cycle lanes and getting your bike and cycle. There should be the same sort of promotions for cycling. It's to do with the motorist mentality and the patience of the motorist. They don't seem to have the patience to stay behind a bike. That cyclist has the right to be in the road, just as they have the right to be in the road. So every right to be in the road as well.
Okay, well, the two issues that have come up during the programme, as you probably heard quite stridently, at the start, maybe the stridency was in me, but the man who said no, the cyclist said, I wouldn't wear a high vis, it should be the drivers in the cars that should be wearing high vis, and I won't wear a helmet.
No, that doesn't make sense. They should wear a high vis. They shouldn't have to wear a high vis. Like if it's the daytime in particular, everybody should see a cyclist in front of them. If they have a license to drive a car, they should be able to see properly, and they should know how to drive the car. And they should be aware of the cyclist in front of them. A cyclist shouldn't have to wear a high vis. I wear a high vis. I have a red light at the back, and it's just to jog the cyclist's mind that hang on, wake up, there's a cyclist in front of me. That's the reason why. Not that they can't see them.
And what about these TV campaigns, which are all about, you know, you see the arm, there's actually a diagram superimposed on the picture, just show how far away you should be from a cyclist. Do they make any difference?
They make a little bit of difference, but it's actually to change the cyclist mentality, and that should be a national program to do that. We're talking about people's lives here, and there's an awful lot of cyclists killed certainly they're not doing enough to promote the safety of cyclists. I've sent emails to the RSA and to various ministers and that about this subject.
Well, do you think high vis should be mandatory? It'd be fairly easy to police. Do you think high vis...
No, I don't really think it. You know, most cyclists...
You see, I've seen checkpoints on a regular basis.
Yeah.
To their credit. Yeah. In Amien Street in Dublin. Gardaí and I think RSA. Where they pull in, the only people they stop are cyclists. And they stop cyclists, and it sounds to me like a very... They're not giving out to them. If a cyclist doesn't have a high vis, they give them a high vis. I can see them giving cyclists high vis. And I saw kids going up to the guards, say, can I have a high vis? Just kids around. They got them as well. Yeah. Like, they're 10 a penny.
Yeah.
So why won't people wear them?
Well, Joe, I agree with you. They should wear them, but at the same time, they shouldn't have to wear. The onus here is on the motorists to safeguard the cyclist on the road in front of them. The motorist is in control. He's coming up behind the bike, and I make the point again: they are still passing out bicycles on roads around, going around corners, and they're putting that cyclist's life in danger by doing that. That's how serious it is. And there isn't enough. It's to do with changing the mentality of the motorist, of patience, and recognise the cyclist has a right to be on the road. That's really my point.
Hear, hear. And obviously the two incidents, one 25 years ago, Garrett.
Yeah, I was on the inside, and I can't name his name. Nobody was on my outside speaking. We were shoulder to shoulder on a long straight road.
Yeah.
And at the inquest afterwards, somebody was fiddling with the tape in the car, and that's what happened. But okay. I mean, I'm the only reason I'm coming on, Joe, is if I can in some little way make a contribution to the safety of cyclists on the road by getting the institutions of the state to do more to promote it, advertise it more, promote it more, the safety of cyclists on the road. There's more and more people going out on bikes, and they deserve to be protected.
And there's more and more cycleways, thankfully, isn't there?
That's a great thing. They're not everywhere. You see an awful lot of people that are not in cycleways. On cycling,
yeah,
because they aren't there.
Okay,
but it's great. The cycling is great. Yeah, of course.
Stay there, Garrett. Yeah. Garrett and Manahai. Diana, you think high vis should be mandatory?
I think that definitely. I think cyclists should be encouraged to wear high vis, especially at night time.
Right.
If you're on a kind of a country road, and there's a car coming, you're driving. There's a car coming against you, and it's got these LED lights.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to see an unmarked bicycle with somebody in dark clothing, no lights. You can't see. You can't see them hardly.
And has that been your experience, Diana?
It has, insofar as that I have occasionally seen this. I thought, Jesus, if there's a car coming against me with LED lights, I wouldn't see that.
And explain the LED phenomenon to me again.
That's the, you know, the normal...
The new lights, you're saying lights, they're less effective.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say they're less effective, but what they can do, they can nearly blind you when they're coming, when the car's coming against you.
Oh, the strength of them, okay.
Yeah, and that cuts down your visibility, let alone your awareness of any, and I'm not just saying a cyclist, it could be a pedestrian as well on the road.
Yeah, of course.
If you're on a narrow country road, and one of these cars with an LED light comes against you from around a corner, by the time you've got your vision back, you could easily have knocked over the cyclist.
Yeah. And I know somebody made a point earlier on, no motorist has ever been killed by a cyclist, but pedestrians have been killed by cyclists.
Unfortunately. Even when cyclists, you see them on the pavements too, and they're involved in looking at updating their Facebook page and checking out their internet coverage as they're cycling along. You get someone who's visually impaired, doesn't see the cyclist. And I'm not saying that this has anything to do with high vis jackets on the cyclist's behalf or anything like that. It's just, I remember seeing... Oh, God, sorry. Rattling a bit.
No,
I remember seeing a programme on stage some years ago where they took a van driver and a cyclist and a car driver, and they got them to swap over so that the van driver became a cyclist, the car driver became a van driver, and the cyclist became a car driver. I said, right, now, drive for 5 miles. So they get a perspective of what the other person is seeing when they're driving.
Yeah.
And it's just the amount of lack of awareness that I've seen cyclists do. And I'm not saying all cyclists are the same. But a lot of instances, you see them cycling down the road with their hands involved and maybe having a coffee out of a coffee cup while the other hand is looking at the Facebook page, and they're just cycling down the road. You're thinking, for heck's sake, sorry, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, all it takes is just they hit something like a small pothole or a dent in the road.
But what about Owen's point earlier on about we are the victims? Why should we be the ones to... I think I know the logic, but why should we be the ones to have to change our behaviour? We are the victims. But I thought that... That can go both ways, can't it?
It can totally go both ways. And I mean, I've been driving for over 40 years, and the amount of traffic on the road now than it was 40 years ago.
Wow.
It's hugely amount.
Yeah, even even post-COVID. Yeah, I've noticed it.
Oh, absolutely.
In the last month, this year, I know last year you could count the days. The Monday was weak. The Monday was not as bad as it was pre-COVID. Tuesday was not as bad. Wednesday was same as pre-COVID because people were going into work. If those who could had the benefit of working from home. Thursday was a bit busier than Monday, and Friday was very slow. But that's changing again, I think. I think the traffic is upping again. I'm just talking about Dublin, a particular part of Dublin. Okay, but Diana, you're adamant. High vis mandatory, very easy to enforce.
I think so, and I mean, I know that
however, for the first year, say, or the first 6 months, if they brought in a law, high vis mandatory, but the first 6 months, we will stop you if you're not wearing high vis, but we will give you one. We will give you one. We won't fine you for the first 6 months. We will give you a high vis. And that's a soft way of bringing it in. Okay, Diana, Jan, others, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
President Biden, or President Trump, President Biden is still President Biden for another 2 hours, but President Trump will sign an executive order today changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. That means every single geography book and every single school in Ireland is now out of date. And they'll have to all go out and buy new ones. Dermot Mulcahy, good afternoon. You used to teach cycling skills.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I just wanted to contribute in a small way.
Give me three tips then.
Okay, well, from my point of view, I guess the responsibility for, sharing the road, the onus can be on the cyclist to be responsible on the road if they're, when you're sharing it, there is an onus of responsibility there. Without being too, dogmatic about it, I would just say just be safe, be seen. And if that means not having a high vis, at least a light on the bike or a reflector on the bike, having taught kids, the etiquette of how to cycle safely and responsibly, that goes a long way with keeping safe as well. I'd be aware as a motorist that sometimes, what has made me realise the importance of it is that sometimes when I'd be driving and I'd see people, dressed in black, there's a lot of times with the light can be in Ireland, we've grey, misty days, we can't see people. So that really just brought it home to me to wear a high vis at all times. And what I do is I just put the high vis, crumple it up, put it into my helmet. So my helmet is hanging off the bike with the high vis, and it's just automatic. Anytime I go out on the bike, it's there for me to put on. So it's a never forgotten thing to do. Having taken kids out on the road, we wouldn't let them out on the road without a high vis, no matter what way the light is, and no matter what way the day is, it's a high vis, and everybody's seen. And in that way, you're showing your responsibility to the other.
Should a final question? Yes or no? Should high vis be mandatory for cyclists?
I wouldn't go as far as making it mandatory, just like the helmets aren't
mandatory. Just encourage. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. It's 9:56 in the morning in Washington. Donald Trump and Melania Trump have just arrived at the White House for the 10 o'clock cup of tea, the handover. Joe Biden and Jill Biden were there to welcome them. Red carpet, very, quite warm, actually. Donald Trump leaned over and touched Jill Biden's arm as a gesture of warmth and welcome. And she was very welcoming, as indeed was Joe Biden to Melania Trump. So they're in for their cup of tea. So it's all starting. It's coming up to 10 o'clock in Washington. Eddie, good afternoon. A difficult story. You're recovering from a bike accident.
Yeah, Joe. How are you doing?
Good.
Joe, on the 1st of November there, I was cycling out to Holt to get some fish, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got as far as Holt. Nobody hit me or anything like that. I wasn't involved in any car accident, but I hit the side of the path, a lip on the path, and I went over the handlebars, Joe. I'm sitting here now since the 1st of November. Wow. I got a broken collarbone.
Wow.
And I was blessed. I had my helmet on me, Joe.
Okay.
Listening to that chap earlier on, I was just sitting here reading my book, listening to the show. Yeah. That chap really made me annoyed.
Well, he was a cyclist as well.
But why should he wear a helmet? You wear a helmet for yourself, Joe, not for the driver of the car that's going to hit you. I couldn't believe it. I was really annoyed, so that's why I felt I had to.
So how, insofar as, Eddie, you're sure of it, so that's the end of it as far as I'm concerned, but how could you prove to Owen, who's that caller, that the helmet did save your life?
Well, my helmet cracked in half when I hit the ground, Joe.
Wow.
If I hadn't got my helmet on me, the fire brigade man said to my wife when she was called to take me off by ambulance, he says, he's a very lucky man, he says. I remember the bang on the ground, my head hitting the ground. That's what I remember most.
Wow.
I don't remember my arm. My shoulder is broken. I am in bits, but I'm very lucky.
Well, tell me, how are you today?
Well, I'm still very sore. I'm out of work since November now, and I just can sit around the house reading. And that's what I do. I'll go for a walk, try and go for a walk.
Okay.
My pelvic area is hurting me as well. You know, I'm waiting on another MRI scan. Yeah.
But are you in pain, Eddie?
Terrible pain. I'm on strong painkillers.
Oh,
but my point is, there was no car involved in my accident.
Yeah,
it was just an accident.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you wear your helmet and your high bays for yourself, not for, you know, hope that somebody will see you. But you wear it for yourself, you know?
Okay. Well, Eddie, speedy record. What book are you reading, by the way?
I'm actually reading Graham Norton's Frankie.
Oh, very good. Got great reviews.
Ellen gave it to me. You know Ellen, my daughter.
Oh, of course you do. Ellen, this is Eddie. Eddie.
Yeah. She gave it to me before she went away there. Yeah.
Alan Keane, our world leading Paralympic swimmer.
Yes.
Okay.
But she gave it to me before she went away.
I was wondering why I haven't seen you around that mace.
Yeah, I haven't been out much at all.
Oh,
now,
I'm sorry
really,
to hear. I've got to know you well. It's just I didn't connect the name there.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you rang Ellen and said, Ellen, after all your physical activity and winning Olympic medals, your father's come off the bike.
I had to ask her, how do you put on socks with one hand?
That's true.
She had to put me on the right
Eddie, track. I hope you're on demand. I really do.
Oh, thanks so much, Joe. Yeah, but I just felt I had to let people know. That was a silly thing that chap said.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Eddie, look after yourself. That's the great Eddie Keane. And I know him as Eddie Keane, but you know him as the father of Ellen Keane. Paul Mernick on sound, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Rachel Graham. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. For fabulous ideas and great savings, the winter sale is not to be missed. Now on, in store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.